Mother, man.
Hey, Joe.
What up, Big D?
Have you heard that Murder Metal Mayhem is doing a month of dictators?
Dictators? What are those? Some type of little dick-shaped tater tots.
Dick-shaped tater tots? Fuck, Joe. Let's just get our Murder Metal Mayhem on.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Mayhem!
Trigger alert. Warning. Warning. Trigger alert. Warning. 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 Trigger alert. Warning.
Well, there's your fucking trigger alert. So you've been warned. All right. Well, hey, it's Tuesday, and that means we're throwing down a brand new Murder Metal Mayhem.
What the fuck is up?
Hell yeah. We're in Horns High Studios for the Horns High Podcast Network, episode 248, going down tonight, getting so close to the big 250.
Yes, sir.
Killing those milestones, man. I'm in Horns High here with Chris and Joey. You're over there in the 419 studios in Toledo, Ohio. What's up, dude?
5 degrees right now.
Jesus Christ, dude, it's so fucking cold.
Yeah, I'm in a hoodie and I never do that, but it's this heater, this poor bastard's been on for 3 hours.
Hey, it's fucking, it's we could rock a hoodie in here and be fucking good right now.
Yeah, because it was like single digits when I went and grabbed some food. So yeah, dude, it's so fucking bad, cold. So anyway, what t-shirts are we wearing, or jackets, fucking parkas, whatever?
I got my camo fleece on, and then I got on that dope-ass black with the red print Murder Machine clothing.
Nice.
Fucking Michael picked up for me at fucking FTA.
There you go.
Rocking that.
There you go. What about you, Joey?
Also got a hoodie on, because it's fucking in my studio. I sit by the window, and it's fucking cold. Got the Triple X Maniac fucking grind shoes.
Hell nice. Yeah.
And your Detroit hat over there.
Detroit what?
Detroit fucking Lions, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm wearing my Murder Metal Mayhem hoodie. And beneath the hoodie, though, I'm going to have to take this off at some point because I promised the guys I'd wear it. Tonight is the Shadow Spawn shirt.
Oh, hell yeah.
They sent, get this, we've talked about fucked up mail before. They sent this from Denmark on Saturday of, not this last Saturday, the Saturday before. And I got it Wednesday.
Yeah.
Huh.
I got it like 5 days later, and that's including a Sunday.
From Denmark.
I was just like, how the fuck did this shirt get here so fast? So anyway, we interviewed those guys Saturday, or Kelvin, the bass player. It was a lot of fun. Great interview, really cool dude. And so I've got the Shadow Spawn Blasphemica, the album art. It's just killer. So I'll show that at some point. Take some pictures and supporting those guys. So definitely dig them. Now, last week, we started out our month of dictators with a fucking boom. Saddam fucking Hussein, Chris.
Saddam Hussein.
Butcher of Baghdad. Definitely a brutal son of a bitch.
Bombs over Baghdad.
And the horrific shit that he did to his own people, gassing over 100,000 in one instance. Women, children, and everyone. And we got a very negative comment. I removed it on the YouTube channel for this video from somebody that was very pro radical Islam.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm not having that shit on here. But yeah, it was pretty over the top.
So it was because they were.
He was saying
supporting.
How he did good and, you know.
Yeah,
this
okay.
Kind of
fuck
shit.
That,
yeah.
Dude.
It was ridiculous. Gassing over 100,000 people, not good, okay? This is what he did. Tortured people by putting fucking cigarettes out on their eyes. I mean, just harsh, harsh shit. And came up with his own list of 107 forms of torture that he used. So we talked about it. We had Tex on with us. Love having Tex. And if you missed it...
Can you see that list of 107 anywhere?
I'm not sure. And it was very specific, 107. And if you missed it on the YouTube channel for that segment with Saddam, you could go watch it. But Tex is obscured by Yosemite Sam with his fucking big 10-gallon hat on. So you got to go check it out just for that. Because every time he talks, it's just funny. It was a great episode, I thought. And Chris, you did the metal feature on a band I didn't know.
Necrogoblicon.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about them, so that was good. And we did our usual Crazy Killer Cage match and all of that. So if you missed it, go on and give it a listen. And if you did, thank you. We were passing 900 to that today. So up a little bit from usual, which is nice. And we got about 200 views for that murder segment on the YouTube channel, which is good. So, you know, for us, the episodes normally weren't getting a lot of views. So, and we put out several episodes of 666 Seconds of Murder and Metal on the YouTube channels, both of the channels. So go check it out. Down below, I've got links to both channels. So if you're not subscribed, do it. The Murder channel just passed 3,000 subscribers today. So that's really cool. So thanks. And those of you listening that are from the YouTube channel, welcome, and hope you guys stick around. Now, tonight we're going to be doing the second in our month of dictators, and another sick bastard, a communist leader out of Cambodia.
Cambodia.
1970s and 80s, known as Pol Pot. Definitely a strange name. And we'll talk about it. And his sadistic army, the Khmer Rouge, these motherfuckers were absolutely savage, man. They tortured, executed, and starved millions of their own people to death.
All because he said so.
Yeah, just a sick bastard. And I wrote two songs about this motherfucker when I was in low 12. And one of them that we haven't played on the show that I could never think of, we're going to play tonight about one of his infamous prisons called S21. So check that out later. We're going to be doing that, of course, in the murder segment. So you got to keep listening to check it out. And then, Joey, you got the horns tonight in the metal segment. What are you going to be talking about?
Well, you would think I was doing Dead Kennedys since we're doing fucking Pol Pot, the holiday in Cambodia, but right. I'm not. I thought about that afterwards. I was like, I kind of missed the fucking ball on that one, but that's okay.
right.
But anyway, I'm going to Canada, and I'm going to do the fucking Star Wars porno grinder Zuckus.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I don't know a damn thing about them, so I'm all ears. I'm anxious to hear what you got to say about them. And then, Chris, you got a lost classic?
I got one. Yes, I do.
That's good. And we'll talk about what we've been listening to. I'll fill you in on some of the interviews going on. And we'll do that later on in the show in the metal segment. So, and then, of course, we got to throw down a new Killer Cage match.
Always.
And that's where we get a list that we came up with of 100 killers, 100 objects for him to fight with, a variable in the cage, which, Chris, sometimes is related to you.
Oh, yeah.
And a
song crank, which is weird.
A song crank it out as they fight to the death. And it's always fun. The listeners love it. And we got some people we want to thank you for providing the numbers.
Yeah, tonight we have our homie fucking Colin 815 Posse Rogers.
Hell yeah.
We got Touchy Pole.
Touchy Pole, nice.
And we got Blessed with Fucking Pain.
Hell yeah, Blessed with Pain.
Hell yeah, thanks y'all.
Listening to your voice, Chris, it's like Blessed with Pain.
Dude. Like I said, between the cold and the cigarettes, man, my throat's jacked.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got an epic bout to get to tonight, Joey. Who do we got in the cage? This should be interesting.
Well, he's not going to be in his fucking his torture fucking trailer, but we do have David Parker Wright in the Killer Cage match.
Nice.
And he's going to go up against the elusive Zodiac Killer.
Hell yeah, Zodiac. That'll be interesting. And Toy Box, yeah, not in the Toy Box, you know, not a very imposing figure, but the objects, Chris, I mean, if he could get a hold of sadistic shit, he could go to town on fucking Zodiac, so We'll see, and there'll be a variable in the cage and a song playing.
Should be interesting.
While they kill each other on that custom-made 666,000-watt Bose system in our Murder Metal Mayhem cage. So it's a listener favorite, and we'll do it in the Mayhem segment. I still got people in comments talking about that Brawl in the Bayou shit. Did you guys get a chance to listen to that yet?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yes.
Yeah, that was really over the top. I got to say that we really...
It came together really well.
Yeah, really liked the way it turned out.
Me and Courtney were in the kitchen like cooking dinner, and I was like, hold on. I'm going to put this on while we're doing this. Yeah, it was great, dude. Cool.
Yeah, I thought it was about as realistic as you could get, right? You know, with what we did. DIYing it all the way. Big thanks to everybody who listens to this podcast. We appreciate it. We're at 5,100 this week, that's cool. We just passed 800,000, guys, so we are on the road to 1,000,000. It's fucking insane to think about it.
Yeah, we're pretty fucking, we're 200,000 away. Isn't fucking too shabby, yo.
No, and 150,000 views in the last month on YouTube, so killing it over there, too. And so keep on spreading that word. Tell people about it. We appreciate that. Chris, we got some
got these cities, man. Listening. Cities top 10, obviously, as forever. Chicago's number one.
Thank you, Chicago.
Thank you, Shy. Fucking number two, we got Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
New York, we got for number three.
That's awesome.
Fucking Brisbane in Queens, Australia is at number four. Number five is where we at, Bloomington. Well, we're in Hayworth, but Bloomington, Illinois is number five. And then number six is Columbus.
It's about time they're back on there.
Yeah,
right.
And number six is Columbus, Ohio. Then we got Mesa, Arizona at number seven.
Sweet.
Decatur, Illinois, eight. And number nine, we got Washington, D.C. And then number 10, we got Temple, Texas.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Man, Mesa, Arizona sounds really fucking good right about
now. Yeah, it's too fucking cold right now. Fuck
that's
that.
That's where I fly in when I go see my
Temple,
parents.
Temple, Texas?
Yeah,
fucking.
That'd be all right. Although it's cold, I think they've been getting a little taste of this cold down there. I haven't asked Tex how it's been going, but
I did see that it was pretty kind of cold fucking when the Packers beat the Cowboys the other day.
Right? Yeah, that was fucking rich. Joey, what about the countries listening to Murder Metal Mayhem?
US at 83 this week, and then we have Australia with 4%, Germany with 2%, and Canada with 2%. Then we have Morocco, Netherlands, Norway, New Zealand, France, and the UK.
Oh, yeah.
It up. So,
yes, sir.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody listening. And make sure you go check out MurderMetalMayhem.com. We got a merch store on there. We get some other information. Been trying to get to updating it because it needs it, but that's an always thing with the website. That's the problem.
Yes, sir, it is. So what you got? I hear that fucking bong going. What's what you got in there?
Today we got the chocolate peanut butter kush from Dutch Touch Genetics in Michigan.
Oh, shit.
What you got going on?
I'm going to call this 16 millimeter. Because I got three.
I like that.
I got three different bags of weed, and I don't know which one's which. And now I got them in bags that I got a set of fucking tapers to stretch out my ears. So this is the bag that the 16 millimeter like tapers and plugs were in. So it's in. Yeah. So I'm going to call it 16 millimeter, but it's getting me really high.
There you go.
And I was going to say, we got a new listener from the YouTube side, Juzzy from Australia, that she said she loves the weed discussion.
Hell yeah.
So
that's
nice. So Chris, I mean, we're going to be taking a little trip across the pond tonight, going to the rice fields of Cambodia, but trying to hunt down another piece of shit dictator.
Yeah, fuck this guy. Let's get our fucking murder on and kill this old bitch.
Unforgivable deeds committed by those who swore to defend murderous promotion.
A prison of the mind, the body, and the soul. Surrender control.
There's some low 12.
Oh, yeah. That's Blast that old from my school. Pass.
Old school, yeah. From the first album, Flesh of the Week. That was the song S21. I haven't heard that in so long. I was doing that today, putting it in here. And it was like, man, I haven't heard that. It's got a great solo from Tim on it, and it's a good song. And it's obviously appropriate for what we're going to be talking
Definitely.
About. We're going to be talking about S21. That's some fucking harsh shit right there. But tonight, we are continuing our month of dictators, this time going Pol Pot. A funny kind of name, kind of like, what the hell is that all about? But we're going to talk about what it means. And the leader of an infamous group of communist revolutionaries who slaughtered, executed, tortured, and starved millions of their own people in what many refer to as the killing fields. I've always been fascinated by this guy, and he's been on our list since we started. I always
I
thought it would
talked
be
about wanting to do him.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it would time. Be cool. Him and Stalin, like some of these, you know, just notorious dictators. I always thought it would be cool, and I'm glad we finally got to it.
Yeah.
He was an awful piece of shit, and definitely needs to be included. Probably, you know, one that maybe, you know, people aren't as familiar with, which is one of the reasons I wanted to do him as well. But Chris, I mean, he's got a kind of a funny name, but it means
original Cambodian.
Yeah.
The OC of Cambodia.
Yeah.
I know, is that like OG?
Right.
Yeah.
But as we'll talk about, that's not his birth name either.
Right. That's just what he called himself, the original Cambodian. That's kind of funny. And then Joey, in addition to that, in Cambodian custom, how do they, with the names, it's a little different than the way we do it here.
Yeah, and some cultures it's like this, where their last name comes first because it you tell the family name first,
right,
and then your given name. And that's how it is in Cambodia. So, you know, if we said it like we do over here in the U.S., we'd be calling them Pot. Like, what's up,
Yo,
Pot?
Yo, what up, Pot? I got it right here. What up, Pot?
That sounds like somebody that might be hanging out in a 419, Joey. You know, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I figured you could get behind somebody like that, you know.
Oh, yeah. He would be the buddy.
Now, hey, buddy.
I don't want to turn this into a marathon. Like, last week we talked about this, you know. We could get deep in the weeds with this story, a lot of political.
In the bamboo.
Yeah. Yeah, in the bamboo. That's good. But I mean, you've got all these fucking coups and all this crazy shit going on and changing power. It's like, it's hard to keep track of. So I just wanted to cut through that stuff. We'll give you the quick and dirty here on what the deal is, and then we'll get into some of the more.
We talk about brutality stuff.
Yeah, the brutality of it all, you know? But he was born in 1925 in Cambodia, and his birth name was Salath Sar. So, yeah. Like Joey just said, the family name was Salath, and his name was Sar. It means pale. So apparently kinda when he was odd. Born, he's kind of pale. And so that's where the name came from, apparently. But the family was Sars. Very prosperous. very prominent farming family, but they were very prosperous. So he went to the best schools, went to France, you know, fancy. But that's where he was exposed to communism and radical theories of politics. And he read Karl Marx, but, you know, he didn't quite get it, he said. He was the guy that wrote the Communist Manifesto, which kind of started that whole fucking awful fucking scourge. For anyone listening that's not exactly sure what communism is, in a simple way,
it's not good.
No, it's a concept that the government is the only one that knows what's good for its people. So the government not only runs everything, but owns everything. So there is no private ownership at all.
Yeah, so all them small businesses you've been helping promote?
Gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
They have nothing to do with
anything. The government would run everything, and they control everything.
If you need some shit tickets, you better hope you can get by on the two rolls they supply yeah. you every fucking week.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, they have such control over people when you control the food. You know, and that's where it gets scary, and that's what he did, and just absolutely awful. But Chris, I mean, 90% of Cambodians were Khmer, which is, you know, would give birth to that Khmer Rouge, that army that he yeah, had.
Fucking Rouge is like red,
right?
And Gamers members of the Khmer fucking ran that shit. They fucking came up on it. And then Pol Pot associated with the Khmer Rouge, all the communist shit, and he was down with them guys, and all they're out there doing is just doing fucking gangster shit, pretty much.
Yeah.
Killing people, fucking murdering, fucking just taking whatever they want.
Yeah.
However they want to do it, just like running it. Like,
here yeah, we go. They wore you uniforms. Say, they looked like an army, and they were just out there, like you said, Chris, just totally doing what they want. Raping, you know, murdering, stealing, just burning people's houses down. I mean, they were fucking brutal. And Joey Pol Pot would become obsessed with another dictator we could have done, Mao Zedong. That dude did some awful shit over there in China.
Yeah, he was, you know, terrible leader himself, and he starved all kinds of his own people.
Right.
Did a lot of stuff. He was into the torturing and, you know, a lot of killing going on, but he had a dynasty, so, you know, he was pretty much at free will to do whatever he wanted over there,
right?
And nobody could say anything. We'll definitely, I would imagine, like, we'll get through this month of dictators, and we'll come across another time. We'll do another batch.
I'm sure.
Yeah, Mao would be a good one. I wrote a song about him too, because him and his wife came up with that concept of death by a thousand cuts. That was their common torture method, is the 1,000 cuts all over your body.
Do you think the bitches loved him because of that mousy tongue?
I don't know. Yeah, I've heard people pronounce it Mao Zedong, but to me that just sounds funny. So, but you know, the Beavis and Butthead, we'd be cracking jokes every 5 seconds. Yeah, but he was awful. I mean, he was... In numbers of dead, Mao Zedong was actually worse than Pol Pot, but he had a lot bigger of a country than Cambodia. But Pol Pot, very influenced by the iconic fucking Joseph Stalin, who's coming up. That's actually our 250th, is fucking Joseph Stalin.
Oh, my God.
And that is some fucking gnarly shit. I mean, gnarly. KGB, fucking... torturing like a motherfucker. And so that'll be a great way to end the month, is with Stalin. But Pol Pot, very influenced by him. And just like Saddam Hussein, he came in at a time when there was a lot of turmoil. And when that's all going on, just like Saddam, you know, there's opportunities arise. You know what I mean? You get people getting fucking whacked and assassinated and like absolute just brutality,
right?
And if you're in the right place at the right time, he's already in that political scene, able to capitalize on it, you know. And so, you know, they were a monarchy at the time, and Pol Pot had begun to, you know, call himself that because he felt that he was the original Cambodian, like we said.
That's fucking, like, I'm the original fucking goddamn Illinoisan. Ain't nobody been to Illinois before me. Fuck you.
That's right. Yeah. And with his French education, even though he failed out of college, just like Saddam. Yeah,
a couple times.
Yeah. He came back to Cambodia in 1953 to implement this radical political views that he learned in France. Damn. So, Chris, I mean, this guy is really getting into politics. He's really involved with the communists over there in China.
Learning from China and shit. And so, like, he starts getting involved in things in fucking, like, it's the early 60s and shit. So,
what's going on? And he's organizing.
Yeah, what's going on, dude? Vietnam War's starting up. And so he's like organizing shit already. So like all these the North Vietnamese, they're going up to Cambodia to try to get the fuck out of the fucking war shit. Well, us Americans, we just went ahead and went to bomb the shit out of fucking Cambodia.
Yeah, said, we weren't you, really dude. Supposed to be over there in Cambodia, but they were over there.
And they were that followed the enemy, basically. Yeah. So we just bombed the shit out of Cambodia. And that didn't go over well with America going into Cambodia either. But
no, and like we were saying, Pol Pot, you know, he's just waiting for that vacuum to show up, you know, because he's got there's a void, and he's just like steps right in. He's got his Khmer Rouge to do his dirty work.
And all these people are looking for help. So what's he going to do? He's going to be like, oh, look, I can help you.
Yeah, of course. Check they always out. Make the big promises, right?
Make the promises. And then once they're under his thumb, just like, okay, now you're going to see the real me.
Yeah.
Watch.
Yeah, it's some scary shit, like we were saying, with that total control over people's lives. And just like the Korean War, when the Chinese were helping the North Koreans, so were the Chinese helping the Cambodians and North Vietnam to defeat the French, who then retreated right before we got involved in Vietnam. So when we got to Vietnam...
You know the only reason we run Vietnam is because of Forrest Gump, right?
That's right. That's right. But, you know, we were over there right after the French were there, but they got their asses whipped and left. So the Vietnamese were cocky, man. They just beat the French, you know, like that's a much bigger country.
But you're weak, though.
And so they were fired up and they were all dug in with their tunnels. And that's why that war just drug on and drug on. And this is a very turbulent time in Cambodia and Vietnam, a perfect storm for Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge to step in and take over. And Joey, the fucking Cambodians, had their own little civil war over there in 1968, man. What was up with that?
Right, they were already dealing with that, because that's whenever the overtake of communism was trying to happen, which, of course, would give Pol Pot his position of ultimate power there.
Right.
But so the problem is that everybody's kind of focused on what's going on in Vietnam, because that's the big deal.
Right.
And it's coming to a head at this point. So it's all the attention's on that. So Cambodia's getting fucking overtaken with nobody fucking doing anything about it or paying attention, really. And Pol Pot's just sliding in slimy.
Oh, yeah. 1968, Vietnam was at a fever pitch. I mean, that was like the height of it. You know, the late 60s was really bad. So, yeah, I mean, there are people they're taking people from the cities in Cambodia. So they being the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot. They go into the city, since that's typically where your more educated people would be, they think.
What, they don't think we got knowledge out here in the country,
boys? I guess not. Just reading them horror-type novels. And they were forced out of the cities to go into the rural areas to become farmers. And they were beaten and tortured.
No, not just to become farmers. To farm for the government, so the government be like, oh, thank you for growing all this or raising all these animals, but you still only get this much.
A little thimbleful, yeah. And if they weren't going with that program, they were just shot on sight and just kicked to the fucking side of the road. They were not able to take any possessions. All that shit is now the government's. The Khmer Rouge was absolutely ruthless, and Pol Pot wanted everyone in his utopia. Everyone was a peasant.
See, this is like,
except him.
It's a dictatorship, but I guess these people aren't really following him. I was going to say it's like a cult, but
it is kind of like a cult. But they're not forced.
They're forced to follow. They're not doing it on their own. So,
no.
But yeah, it's still fucked up in that way.
It is. And the communist way of looking at things, from Karl Marx, you know, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. So meaning, if you've got two kids and you're working next to a guy with one kid, you're going to get more money because you've got more mouths to feed. So people would think, well, that sounds fair, you know, like that should be that way.
Right.
That sounds really nice, but what if the guy with one kid works harder than you?
Right.
Like, why should he or she get less money because he's got less mouths to feed.
Right. I'm here busting my ass.
Right.
Today I'm like a fucking manager, a team leader, whatever. I know you're the boss of me because you're dictating what I do, but still you got me controlling this person. Right. I should get a little extra, right?
Yeah. And in this system, it was not that in the communist way of doing things, it's not that way. So you have no worker morale because nobody wants to. Why give a fuck?
Exactly.
Why do anything above what's just not going to get you shot in the head, because it doesn't do you any good to bust your ass because you're not going to get any more money out of it.
Exactly. This dude's got so five kids, gets all this.
Absolutely. I'm doing the same fucked work. Up. It's insidious is what it is. And so I didn't know, you know, I know we obviously talk more about true crime, but I've done a lot of research in this time period, and I, like I said, I wrote a couple different songs about various things in this period, in this part of the country, or the world. It just fascinates me. Now, Chris, they're going into schools and shooting the fucking teachers, like right in front of the class.
How do you keep your? I'm going to say, call them subjects. How do you keep your subjects in line? Make them stupid.
Exactly.
Make them stupid. Do not let them get any kind of education other than what you and your regime is telling them to do. That's all they know. That's all they're going to follow.
Right.
That's all that fucking matters.
Very cultish. You brought that up a minute ago.
It's like a cult, but they're being forced into this cult.
Exactly. And they're turning these fucking schools
into prisons. And just like your song, dude, S21, that was a school, but all of a sudden, next thing you know,
it's a prison.
It's a fucking prison.
It's the most infamous of prisons, S21, an absolutely horrible place.
Yeah, full of men, women, children, just done.
Yeah, innocent people did absolutely nothing
except trying to live.
Right. Of the 10,000 people that went into that prison, 7 survived.
Okay, I heard 17, but still, either way, it's fucking terrible fucking number.
It is. It is. And they did every form of torture you can absolutely imagine. They're getting people to falsely confess, just like typical with that bullshit. Dude, and absolutely horrendous, absolutely horror show stuff.
Thousands of people and 17 or 7
right
walk out alive.
That's pretty fucked up.
Fucking bad, dude. Like, they weren't given food and all that shit. Like,
it was really bad. It was really bad. I mean, you know, very much like the Russians and the Chinese. Again, that's where their influence was coming, is from those, you know, individuals. So that's the kind of shit they were doing too. Now, Joey, as I mentioned earlier, I wrote that song S21, and I know, like you, I get inspired by real events and things going on. I mean, I know you've done that kind of stuff with Gormonger.
Oh yeah, fucking mostly, you know, killers and shit.
Yeah, but still, though,
it's the same kind of realm,
right? Though. No, yeah. Totally. And, you know, the S21 was just so brutal, but the S stands for security prison. So they just numbered them. Kind of like when I was in school in the Bronx and went to PS 78, yeah, public sounds, school 78.
All right.
Sounds very much like this. But it was a nice place. They didn't fucking torture me or anything. There's a memorial there now and a website with thousands of pictures of all these people. The website, I remember going through it when I wrote the song, and it's just so fucked up. You're just looking at, they look like mugshots, but they're innocent people. Yeah. And the look in their eyes is just absolute horror, because they know what's going to happen.
Yeah, like, oh, I know I'm going to die, I just don't know when.
Yeah, so.
Well, we all know that, but they know that it's going to be soon.
Right.
Yeah, really, really bad. You hope it's soon, right? I mean,
yeah, at that point, you hope it's fucking soon.
Yeah, quick and soon. It was 1973, though. Vietnam War is now winding down, and now Pol Pot and Khmer Rouge totally fucking slip in and take the country over. So they are controlling Cambodia. There's that power vacuum, and he sees the moment. And just like we talked about with Saddam, you know, these dictators take power the same way, just some lucky breaks, big ass fucking cojones and political street smarts. A lot of them are just very smart that way. Right place, right time, know the right people, very slick.
Yeah, so. And once you have that power when you're in that, where Pol Pot is, and he's already got his army, like the Khmeres, he's got his army.
Right.
These guys are going to know what's going to happen to them if they don't follow.
Oh, yeah.
His fucking, yeah. What he says.
Because like he's got
other people back here. Like, if you try to mutiny or whatever, these other motherfuckers will be like, nah, we're going to take care of you because right. I don't want what's about to come after this.
I don't
want
to go to S-21.
Right. No, this ain't happening. We'll take care of you. You are no longer here. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got him scared to death. Nobody's going to fuck with him. And if they did, like you said, that would be fucking over with quick. But, you know, the way he destroys his own country by forcing all the educated people to become basically serfs, slaves to incredibly high quotas for rice, which was the primary thing that they farmed.
I saw one story that there was a little girl, like 10 or some shit, that they thought was taking rice. It was like, well, open her up. And they killed her, like cut her open, and there was no rice in her stomach and shit. It was like, so they killed this girl for supposedly stealing rice. Like,
that's fucked up.
Like, it's that bad. Like, if I think you did it, that means you did it. Even if you didn't do it, I thought you did. We're going to find out.
Yeah,
that's like fucking that's Snatch. When the dog eats the diamond, they thought the dog ate the diamond.
Right, cut it
open. It's like, what? Right.
So it's a horrible situation, and just a terrible existence. And the Khmer Rouge enforced a complete atheism, killing anybody that practiced any form of religion at all. The government is your religion in this situation. And there were revolts that would spring up, but the Khmer Rouge was right on it, and they're not going to let any of that shit go because, like Chris said, you know, then they're going to be in fucking the world of shit.
Yes, sir.
So 1977, approximately 5,000 of Pol Pot's political enemies were murdered.
That's a lot of politicians, man.
Right, right.
God damn.
But the slogan, I love this, purify the party, purify the army, and purify the cadres. So it's a purification
through violence. I love that fucking Dying Fetus album.
There you go So Joey, I mean, how many people ended up dying in this fucking horrible situation?
About 2 million of the citizens of Cambodia.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a fucking ton of them.
Yeah, it is. Are you familiar with that movie, The Killing Fields, about that?
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, I really liked it, too. I figured you'd probably seen it. It's really good. It's like, I think, from the 80s, if I remember right. It's an older movie, but it's great. But it talks about it, of course. And, you know, most of Cambodia is rice fields, just like Vietnam, so...
Yeah. Well, and something else we're not talking about, and the time period, there was a lot of poppy fields at that time, too, in those areas.
Right.
So the heroin was really huge. Big deal. Yeah, so they had control over that as well, so that's just another aspect of it that they had.
That's right, I forgot
Just
about
like
that.
The opiates in general.
Right.
Right, yeah.
So, Chris, I mean, a lot of mass graves, man.
Like 25,000.
Yeah.
Mass graves in
the
country.
That's fucking insane.
Like millions of people in there. Now, oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
What do you consider a mass grave? How many bodies?
I'm not sure what the definition of a mass grave is. I'm going to say maybe more than 50 or.
Yeah, it's got to be, but still.
That's awful.
You got 25,000 holes full of bodies.
Hundreds and hundreds of bodies. Yeah, absolutely fucking horrendous.
That's fucking just insane to think about.
Yeah.
I
would like to at some point talk about the rape of Nanking. We'd have to call it something else because obviously that's going to get flagged. and it doesn't mean exactly Nanking wasn't a person, it was a city. But I wrote a song about it called Mountains of the Dead, and the reporters talked about when they came into the city, the bodies were piled so high they looked like mountains. That's when they came in there. Nuts. So yeah, that would be a good one to do. I know Exodus did a song called The Rape of Nanking. Ours was called Mountains of the Dead, but yeah. But yeah, that would be a good one at some point to do. Good in that it's an interesting story. It's an absolutely horrendous fucking thing that happened. But then 1978, you know, Vietnam launches a full assault on Cambodia to get rid of Pol Pot.
That's because it was like, yo, Chris Schaubeck was born this year. Let's fucking fix this shit.
That's right. We need to set him up. He's going to run the poppy fields over here.
Right.
It's crazy to think that this shit is going on until 1989 when the Berlin Wall fell. I mean, it's hard to imagine countries under this sort of control in the modern age. You know what I mean? It's fucked up. But there are still some. We know North Korea is that way. This would have a major impact on Cambodia since all the communist countries are now in jeopardy.
I love Jeopardy. I watch it every day.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's amazing how instrumental the fall of the Berlin Wall was. And for our younger listeners who don't know, the Berlin Wall fell or was associated between, it separated West and East Germany. There was two Germanys back then. And then the wall came down thanks to Reagan and the others that pulled that together. And it became one Germany. So the communists were out, and this became the kind of the beginning of the end for Pol Pot and the others of his ilk out there doing this shit. And then Joey, his health starts going down.
Yeah, I mean, he's fucking sick as fuck, and now they want to arrest him. He gets put on public trial, found guilty for his fucking crimes against humanity, basically.
Right.
This motherfucker does zero time at all.
Right.
Because he's in such poor health, he just dies in his sleep.
Fucking awful, man. Total David Parker Ray, which is funny because David Parker Ray is in the Killer Cage Match.
Cage Match.
But Parker Ray, you know, same type of thing, right? Just did not do any time other than maybe his jail time.
Like, a couple months.
Yeah. So.
That's it. Like with Leonard Lake, like. He took a cyanide capsule, so he forced that death to happen. Dudes like this and David Parker Ray, that's just crazy how it's just like, oh, I'm going to go spend the rest of my life in prison. No, I'm not. I'm going
to die. And heart attack.
Peacefully
heart attacks.
In your sleep.
Yeah, just life just says, oh, you did all your fucking damage. You can end now.
Yeah. So, yeah. Pol Pot peacefully in his sleep. But they didn't want to give his body up, you know, his close... The few that were left that were kind of, you know...
on his side, basically.
Yeah, I mean, what happens, Chris? I mean,
well, he should have fucking suffered.
Right.
Like, suffered.
Right.
He should still be alive, suffering to this day. Fuck that dude. But some people think that he killed himself or whatever.
Or had somebody
else kill him, whatnot. But with the Buddhist religion and all that, they fucking had his body cremated and shit. But guess what you can't do now?
Right.
A fucking autopsy.
Right.
You can't do an autopsy once the body's burnt. Now you're just like, oh, we got ashes.
Yeah.
We might be able to get a little bit of DNA out of there.
Right.
That's about it.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't really know. I mean, it could have been like what's his name?
Cyanide.
The old Reverend Kool-Aid King, Jones had someone kill
talking
him.
About George Jones?
Yeah, George Jones. the raccoon or whatever they call it. Not George Jones. But where they have someone else do it.
Right.
They don't have the fucking balls to do it.
Yeah, they can't do it themselves. They're like, I need to die, but I
remember who was the dude in the taco, the silver taco?
Oh, yeah, that big case in Texas we did.
Fuck, I can't remember that, but he had the dudes kill him, too, though.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how the story ends. It's very unsatisfying.
Right. You just, like, goes to sleep one night and never wakes up.
Yeah, And so,
you know, it's crazy. We did Alfonso Costanza too down in Mexico, and he had somebody kill him too. It's like
right.
all these dudes that got some power,
right?
They always get somebody else to fucking kill
right.
them. The only one that didn't was Manson. That's because he's like, fuck that. I've lived in prison most of my life anyway.
I got no problems with being in fucking prison.
I got three hots and a cut. I don't give a fuck.
Like, whatever.
I don't give a fuck.
And I'm going to hide under the sink.
I'm a fucking celebrity
right,
in here.
Basically.
Like, they treat me like a fucking god. I'm not going to fucking, I don't give a shit, you know. Yeah, for sure. But just a fucking awful piece of shit. And definitely worthy of our discussion of horrible dictators that murdered millions. Unbelievable. In this case, 2 million. And starving. I mean, what an absolutely horrible way to go out.
Dude, I couldn't even imagine not have, like, starving to death would be awful. Yeah,
it is. So, anything to add to this one, guys? Pol Pot. Salazar.
I got nothing. Like I said, there's so
I mean, there's a lot
much.
You could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I think we covered.
Yeah, I think we did all right. There is so much. It's just like
there is a lot. And like I said, some of the documentaries that get into it, I get like glazed over because it's just too much. The really good ones that I watched on YouTube, Biographics with Simon Whistler, who also does Casual Criminalist. Simon's stuff is really good. He did like a 30-minute on Pol Pot that was really good. And then I also watched Pol Pot, the Khmer Rouge, and the Killing Fields, which was really good, but it got a little deep into the political coups and all that stuff. But I would go with Simon's. It's a little shorter, and he just cuts to the chase and gets into the good stuff and leaves the other crap out.
Right.
But, you know, I tried to, you know, make it as palatable as possible, but wanted to do it. Just because, like I said, I've known and read a lot about this guy and was anxious to eventually get to it. A
couple of things I checked out, like, got real deep into it. But if you want to, like, really know, like, get into his mind a little bit, I guess, and, like, how he grew up and saw how political shit was and all that, it explains a lot if you check out the political shit. It's like, oh, I see how shit's working. I'm going to start running it my way because I got an algorithm figured out that I can do this.
Right. Well, he got into the communism thing, and that's when, you know, he started his brain kind of warped. But next week, we're going to continue our month of dictators with a legendary, the first ruler of the Mongol Empire in the early 1200s. This has got to be, if not the oldest, one of the oldest ones we've done, a very controversial figure, raping and pillaging as he conquered a vast empire. But
fucking Genghis.
Yeah, Genghis Khan, man. It's going to be killer. Yeah. And he's definitely
Bill
different.
I was just going to say, fucking Bill and Ted, baby.
That's right.
That's where I'm going to get most of my knowledge for that episode. I'm going to watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and just watch all the Genghis Khan parts and be
that's right.
Yep, this is what happened.
Doing
party on, dude.
Doing some podcast research here. So, yeah. So I just thought that was a different one, you know, because like I said, some of them, the stories sound Saddam and Pol Pot. There's a lot of similarities. And we're going to have Shane on with us, which will be fun, from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Yeah, Shane's always a great time to have.
Yeah, Shane is a cool dude, and we'll have him on. And he is going to do the metal segment, too. He asked if
right
he would
on.
Be all right.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. So, yeah, Shane will be on with us next week, so that'll be fun. But we'll talk about some Genghis Khan. Joey, how about any page a day for us?
I got a couple from the page today. First one we're going to talk about is the murders of Patricia Kalitsky and Dwayne Bogle. So Dwayne Bogle, he was a airman, and he was stationed at Malmstrom Air Force Base near Great Falls, Montana. And that's when he met a local high school student named Patricia Kalitsky. And they fell in love. Now, January 2nd, 1956, so you got to remember this is in the 50s, too, when the story takes place. The couple goes on they go to a drive-in restaurant, and then they go to a nearby lover's lane. Now, they didn't return the next morning, and their families had assumed they eloped. Now, this is why I say this is the 50s, because back then people might actually have thought,
oh, well, they just went to go get hitched real quick. No big deal.
Yeah. Nowadays, it'd be like, I haven't heard from this girl in 2 hours. She has been killed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So, anyway, when they hadn't returned... Oh, yeah. So, anyway, so their families think they elope, but the next day, there's some children hiking in the area up by where the... where they had been hanging out at, and then they came across Bogle's body, and it was actually face down next to his car with his hands tied behind his back and a gunshot to the back of his head. Kalitsky's body was found the next day. She had been sexually assaulted and shot in the head as well. they're hunting for the killer, but the case grew cold. They interviewed more than 35 people over the next 50 years, including mobster Whitey Bulger,
really?
Who had been arrested on rape charges in Great Falls in 1951. So, 2001, there's a crime lab that isolated a single sperm that didn't belong to Bogle, so that was a crucial piece of DNA evidence, but there was no matches in the National Criminal Database, unfortunately. So, 2012 comes along, and the detective John Kadner, he's assigned to the cold case of Bogle and Kalitsky, and this is right after the Golden State Killer, Joseph DeAngelo,
right.
When he got caught in 2018, so then the world knows about genetic genealogy profiles.
Right.
So, he works with a company to get them, you know, the DNA to some companies that can help him with that, and they actually led them to three suspects, including Kenneth Gold. Gold lived in Great Falls at the time of the murders, but he sold his family's property a month later. He moved around Montana with his wife and five children, eventually moved to Missouri, never came back to Montana. He died in 2007, so they actually had to approach Gold's children to obtain the DNA samples. Now, that's, you know, understandably is nervous when you're asking the family about this.
Right, like, hey, we think especially your dad like, killed somebody.
Right.
Test your DNA.
But, so, fortunately, the children were cooperative. They did want to help in it. It was proven to be him, but because he was dead, it can only be listed as most likely suspect.
Right.
Like, he wasn't tried and convicted.
Right.
But the case was officially solved in 2021 after 65 years. And that's the oldest cold case solved through genetic genealogy.
So no shit.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's been a big thing in Idaho 4 with Koberger, with the IgG evidence. Yeah, I've been learning a lot about it. It's interesting.
All right, so then I got two of them, so this is the second one. This one's pretty funny. This is uniquely named criminals and crimes that they committed. So the first one is Cherry's Waffles Tennis.
Cherry's
and Waffles Tennis. Yeah, what Cherry's Waffles Tennis did was got some fraud charges. He's arrested in 2014 for using a fake credit card in a Florida surf shop. And they're like, I don't know if that's you or not, but that was actually his name. So the second one is...
Wait, hold on.
Bizau.
So use a credit card with the name Cherry's Waffle Tennis?
No. No, used a name of something else, got the fraud charges, but this is the person's
real
name
was Cherry Waffle.
Yeah.
No, these are all... Yeah, these are real names that I'm saying. So this is the second one. Bizau doo doo zoppity bop bop bop.
No.
Now
what the fuck?
So bippity bop 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 made the headlines in 2012, a year after legally changing his name. He was arrested in Wisconsin for marijuana possession, as well as carrying a concealed weapon and violating parole.
That's a fucking name.
Bizau doo doo zobippity bop bop bop. Now, the third one we're talking about is Batman bin Superman. It's not Superman with an E, it's A, so Superman. But Batman bin Superman. He got caught for theft. Now, he was sentenced to 33 months in a Singapore prison after stealing money from a shop in 2013. So that was his name.
Wow.
Now, the fourth one, Obi-Wan Kenobi. This motherfucker got hit and run charges. in 2012 after fleeing the scene of a five car crash that he caused in California, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wow.
Now the last one, this That's is too current. Good. The last one on here is Crystal Methany. Or Methany.
Nice.
Yes. Crystal Methany. Yeah. And what she got in trouble for was launching a missile into a car.
What the fuck?
Now, this was...
Damn.
So this is Florida woman Crystal Methany, and she was arrested in 2014 for shooting a missile into a car. Now, just to clarify, in Florida, law defines a missile, in this case, as a stone or other hard object you throw into a
car. Okay, all right.
It's still funny that she got caught for that. Now... So the last thing I was going to say is, there was Polk County, Florida. That's a classic place. A lot of the crazy shit that comes out, you see from down there. And one of their office spokeswoman, they only called her Linda, but when journalist Mark Schaber asked to confirm the Crystal Methany name, all she said was, "Sir, this is Florida. We have a lot of interesting names here."
Wow. Damn. Good stuff.
So that was Paige a Day.
Paige a Day.
Oh, my
Always
God.
Comes through. That's good
That's
shit.
That's fucking tight.
Hell yeah. Well, I think we've done our fair share of murdering tonight. I think it's time to crank up the metal. So, Joey, what the fuck are we going to do?
Crystal Methany says we need to get our murder.
Just because CK has passed on, he's not done educating the masses. CK will forever be the great metal motherfucker. We're here to stomp poser ass and eradicate the planet of their kind. CK has passed the torch to us, and we will forge the fuck on. In CK's name, we will bestow metal knowledge upon all of you.
Recording stopped.
That's the recording of the video has stopped, so don't have any fear. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous, like Billy Batts would
say. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous.
Don't be nervous, huh? So here we are in the metal segment. Of course, this is always throwing the horns up to CK, the great metal motherfucker. Always will be. And we do this segment every week, and this is where we talk about our heavy metal part of the show, and we each take turns since CK has been gone now since 2021.
Yes, sir.
And Joey, you got the horns this week, and so you got to pick the topic. So what you going to talk about?
Like I said, I'm going to Canada to talk about the band Zuckuss. Really bothered by I'm pretty upset by the fact I didn't do Dead Kennedys and save Zuckuss for when Shane was on, but it's okay. I'm gonna get over that right now. But anyway, I fucking love the band Zuckuss, so I'm really stoked to do them. But what Zuckuss is a Star Wars themed porno grind band from Canada. It's They're from the Vancouver, BC area.
I've seen a couple of those.
right. So they originally formed in 1997, and they got their name from an alien bounty hunter that's on a Star Destroyer in The Empire Strikes Back named Zuckuss. So that's where the name comes from.
Okay.
Lineup right now, there's been a little bit of lineup fucking flip-flops, but the lineup currently and for a lot of the albums was Dungan on bass, Boss Jass on drums, Guy G88 on vocals, and Boba Fett on guitars. So
Boba Fett. Get the fuck out of here. Boba Fett. Love it.
So they put out a couple demos, and then they self-released their first full length in 2000, which was called Tit Fuck by Tauntaun. So if you're a Star Wars fan, just check out their all their covers to their albums are pretty much fucking graphic on for what the name of the album is, so it's pretty hilarious. So Tit Fuck by Tauntaun, this album had such hits as Cellar Dweller, Grand Muff Barkin, Assgasm, Bouncy Nipple 2, and Come Drunk Whore, which is a classic. Then you go to 2004, and they put out their second full length, and this album is called Rancor Rim Job, which we're actually going to play the title track for that in our bumper music for Zuckuss.
Right.
But on Rancor Rim Job, they had some badass songs like Billy D. Wumpa Frumpta Flame Fart Factory. They had David Asselhoff.
Bantha Buggery.
Yep. David Asselhoff.
Nice.
Chachi Chubachis. And Brown Eyebrow, which is good.
Yeah.
2009, they come out with their third and the last full length they put out, which is called Gamorrean Gangbang. On Gamorrean Gangbang, they had songs like Reeves Witherspoon Tang. They had Hot Shit Hand Job, Flabba the Slut, Poon the Barbar, and Jengasserole.
Wow.
As well as Bouncy Nipple 4 on this one. So, Zuckuss, that's their three albums. If you can find those, like, they're pretty much all out of press, but you can go to their Bandcamp. You can download them digitally.
Oh, okay.
But they put out, I think they put out a couple demos, like, more recently, just shorter things that actually they put out a split. There was a digital split that came out with them and a few bands, and they put those songs on that, too. But they got three albums. If you can find them, go jam them. Fucking groovy porno grind out of Canada, Zuckuss, fucking represent.
Are they still active, Joey?
Yeah, they're still active, technically, so that's maybe cool. In another 2 or 3 years they'll drop another album, we'll see.
Where in Canada did you say?
Vancouver and British Columbia.
Nice, Picton country. Yep. Very cool. All right, yeah. Awesome.
And one of our listeners from up there, Mason Henninger, my buddy, he fucking... they played a show up there. It's hard to get their merch and shit, but he picked me up one of their shirts and one of their CDs and sent them to me, so I got one of their shirts, too.
Oh, cool.
It's hard to come by.
Yeah.
So, hell yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Shit, yeah, dude.
Chris, Zuckuss. What do you got for a Lost Classic for us, Chris?
For the Lost Classic tonight, I'm going to go with fucking 1997's fucking Fearless Undead Machines by Deceased. Go
nice.
Check it out.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Good shit right there, man. Old death metal shit.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, I mentioned that Shane's going to be on with us next week for the Genghis Khan episode. He asked if it was all right if he does the murder or the metal segment. I'm like, yeah, sure, if you want to. And so he's going to be going with Voivod, some classic Canadian nice. Metal. I wasn't sure if CK ever did Voivod. I don't recall. But I told Shane
sure
it was
he did, but
it was okay.
Still
you know?
Good, though.
Yeah, especially being Canadian. You know, he could talk about it from a Canadian standpoint.
I can roll with that.
So yeah, so
and
that's
we had that discussion before where you know
it's okay.
CK did a lot, but it would be okay if we went back over and did a few. So.
Exactly. All right, what have we been listening to lately?
I actually have some tonight.
You got something?
Yes, I did. So shit that I've been listening to.
Okay, Max Leiter.
A little bit of fucking some old school shit that I listened to back in the days. Fucking Diecast from fucking Boston. E-Town Concrete, fucking, they're like a new metal, fucking kind of pop punk shit.
Right.
Fucking, they're from fucking Jersey. And these guys that I've been listening to them more ever since Joey sent me the link on Facebook, Skin the Lab, dude, from North
Skin
Dakota.
Skin the Lamb?
Yeah, Skin the Lamb. Yeah. I said lab, yeah, I know, but yeah, Skin the Lamb, dude, they're fucking pretty badass for fucking North Dakota. Fucking Vorga. The sticker that I took home last week that came with those there, yeah. I was like, I'm going to check this shit out. It's some fucking black metal shit from fucking, where the fuck are they from? From fucking Germany, but it's black metal shit. It's really, I dig it. I like a lot of black metal shit like that.
Yeah.
And I just the other day came across this band called fucking Sea of Consequences from the Netherlands. And they're like a technical progressive death metal band, and they're pretty badass as well. So yes,
cool.
I actually have some this week.
There you go. Joey, what about you, dude?
It's like I had them in my mind and it just fucking slips, but I've been jamming some fucking old school, like Sepultura. I was jamming Chaos AD. I was jamming fucking Anthrax, Among the Living. Fucking
nice.
Love that album.
Yeah,
fucking go hard.
Yeah,
fucking Scott Ian, one of the best rhythm guitarists, if not the best rhythm.
He is amazingly good at playing rhythm, for sure.
Hell yeah. And Oh, and so I was listening to some more localized to your guys' shit. I was jamming some Annihilate, fucking Hallelujah, I'm gonna fucking kill myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, did I talk about that last week?
Yeah, you did, but still, whatever.
Yeah, and still fucking I was jamming that. And then fucking also that Reap album, fucking Vaughn's on, him and Kyle Christmas and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
just such a good album that came out.
Fuck yeah. I've been jamming Shadow Spawn. I mentioned them earlier. Blasphemica, that album is killer. Entombed, I went old school Joey, Left Hand Path, first Entombed. And then this band out of Mexico called Skeletal Throne. Very sick old school death metal. They got an album called Barbaric Torment that came out that's just brutal. Really, really good stuff. I really like those guys.
Two things real quick. So since Shane is doing next week,
we'll just skip a turn. So my turn will be after Shane.
So yeah, so it'll be Shane, you, then me.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Second thing is,
I'll still do the Lost Classic with Pete.
You'll do the Lost Classic with Pete?
Yeah, I guess we won't do
we
it.
Just won't have one next week.
Yeah,
that makes the most sense, yeah. Also, something that I've been listening to was also getting me my Lost Classics. So my next metal segment, I already know what I'm doing. I'm not going to say what it is, but it's going to be an album. So
cool. That's cool. I like that. Very cool.
Brokeback Mountain soundtrack.
Fuck yeah, you know it, boy. Shit.
The 666 seconds of metal videos that Shane and I have been doing. We've been doing two each week every Thursday night. We did a dissecting a classic last week, Carcass Necroticism. That comes out, I think, tomorrow. And nice. So by the time this episode comes out, it'll already be out. And lots of just killer content on there. So go check that out if you haven't subscribed to 666 Seconds of Metal. It's the second channel that we're doing. Joey, what about the latest with Gormonger and the distro? Anything you wanted to put out?
I released that covers album digitally on my Bandcamp and YouTube. I talked about that last week. And then I'm compiling right now my second Splits album. I've got all that pretty much ready to go. I just need to fucking get it up to the fucking the presser and stuff.
Cool.
But the first, I mean, obviously, it's a consolidation of all the songs I did with Splits with other bands and shit. The first one I did fucking had like 5 Splits worth of music on it. I think this one has like 6 on it. It'll also have some shit that's unavailable at the time too, except for digital. So that'll be cool.
Yeah,
and that'll be available physical and digitally. So, oh, and what I was gonna say was, anybody that listens to my shit, the first Splits album, I cleverly used the picture from Ed Gein's fucking barn with the body fucking cut in half, split in half, AKA the Splits. I thought that was pretty hilarious myself.
Nice.
So anyway, the second one, the new one I got, is the crime scene photo of the Black Dahlia with her body pulled at part.
Splits.
So Splits part 2, the new chapter. So hell
yeah. Nice. Yes,
very cool. Very cool. Always love the true crime tie-ins for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's 666 Club. That's a way you can help support what we do. That's our Patreon. So we appreciate you guys that are members of the club. And we've got a Horns High Club over there on YouTube. That's our membership over there. But with the 666 Club, you get the episodes early. You get the interviews as soon as they're done. You get everything early. You don't have to wait. So that's a cool thing. And discounts on merch as well. So, all right. Well, we have done plenty of metal tonight. So, Chris, what the fuck do we need to do?
Let's get our mayhem on!
back in the motherfucker house with a fat dick for your motherfucker mouth. This your boy, Punks. You know what's up. Right for one, I represent Finley Prince in the house. You know what time of year it is? It's almost Valentine's Day, motherfucker. You want to press that hole in your life, don't you? Get you a copy of my latest album, fresh on 419 Records. You know what's up. Put some good loving vibes in the air. It's called Valentine's Day with my hoe. I got some classics on this jam. You know your boy don't disappoint. Yeah. You're going to be rolling up a blunt. You're going to be sipping you a little bit of that Thunderbird. 419 Crip, you know what's up? Now, check out all my tunes on this motherfucker, like Mom is a hoe, then of course, Granny's a hoe, and then, what about Daddy's a hoe too? That motherfucker off the chain. I just fucking got that beat sent in. My boy produced that track. I'm talking about Finley Crip, motherfucker, AKZ Law. That motherfucker crazy as hell. Shout out to him. Shout out to my mom. Motherfucker R.I.P. Sugar Babe. Now, whenever you bumping that shit, you gonna hear that single that dropped on the radio. You know you was bumping that shit in the 419. That motherfucking track, Stank Ass Pussy. That motherfucker banging in the club everywhere you go. That motherfucker raw. Get me on motherfucking tours. Get me on motherfucking playing arena shows. These motherfuckers going ham. Now, that's a panty dropper on the album, but don't wait around. But this is gonna sell out quick. There's only 4 copies because I only got like 3 friends, so I hope to keep one for myself. But you know, that motherfucker gonna sell out like a motherfucker. Now, don't be the one on your block without that fucking record. You're gonna be banging that shit. Get you a copy of Valentine's Day with my hoe today. Get you a free autograph poster of that bitch with your boy. That's right. You know your mom wants me and you know you want me too, so get to boo. Go to 419records.com. Order one today, bitches. Punk out. What?
Oh my God.
Punky shit.
I was rolling for that shit. Jesus.
He said, I only got like 4 copies because, you know, I got like 3 friends. So, like, yeah.
I want to keep one for myself. Yeah, that's good stuff. And the music I thought was perfect. I went and found some good shit.
So good.
Yeah. So fucking good, man.
Before that, Zuckus, dude, that was crazy. That reminded me of like Blood Duster or something just real like frenzied like that. That was wild, dude. Fucking drummer and then that bass fucking lick there at that one spot where it's just bass. That was sick. Yeah. Definitely digging it. All right, well, we are in mayhem.
Rancor rim job.
There you go. And
you don't want a rim job for a Rancor.
Punky's Valentine's Day, though. That's some good stuff there. You need to get that album. I mean, there's only 4 of them. So get on that. So go on Amazon and search for that. See what you find. But great segment on Zuckus, Joey. Like I said, always love learning about something I didn't know anything about. So that's cool. We don't have any mayhem for you tonight. No mayhem stories.
I do got something.
But you had something wanted to mention, Joey.
Yeah, because we brought it, because we had Punky over there on the fucking Valentine's deal, fucking trying to sell you a CD. But
right.
I should have, this is a time when I should have had old Punky Brooks with me probably. And since I'm over here in the 419, like, there's spots in this place, obviously, that aren't very good and shit. There's a lot of ghetto spots in 419 and shit, so I joke about it, but really, like, you do gotta be,
it's
like,
real shit. Yeah.
Yeah, but also, at the same time, even though I've been here, like, over a year now, I'm a slave to my GPS when I'm getting around here. Like, I just plug in anything, and it takes me there, you know?
Right.
And, if I'm going with Stephanie somewhere, we'll be going somewhere, and I'll be driving in a place, and she'll be like, why'd you go this way, you know? You should have went there. Because I'm just going where the GPS tells me. I don't go in this area. Well, okay. Well,
right.
You know. Anyway, so I'm by myself the other day, and fucking there's a road closure because of an accident or something, so the GPS redirects me, you know, a different way. And I also got to get gas. So I'm seeing I got to get gas. I'm driving down the street. This is the middle of the day. I'm driving down the street, and I see a gas station. Of course, I just pull over.
Right, got to get gas. You know?
I think about maybe get a drink or something like that, too, you know. Man, I pull up to this fucking gas station at the corner of Detroit and Monroe here in Toledo, and I fucking get out to get my gas, and as soon as I get out, it was like I was in a fucking rap video.
Oh,
like,
man.
It was fucking, it was gangsta up there, like, all around me. There were motherfuckers kicking it, fucking just kicking the bobos, talking shit, you know? And I was like, oh, so I was like, man, I don't know, I don't think I'm going to go up in this motherfucker, you know, because just... because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know where the hell I'm at, you know? Right. I'm not trying to be fucking... I'm not trying to stereotype nothing like this. This is a bad spot.
No.
You know,
yeah, but still, be careful, dude.
And I recognize... Right. And I recognize where I'm at in the moment, so I fucking use the... I use the card... get the gas at the pump and shit, you know, and I don't get anything else, but I'm just sitting there like, man, that was a pretty fucking wild time, but I don't know the areas and shit, you know, so right. I get back home, and whenever I tell Stephanie, I was like, yeah, I got gas over on Detroit and Monroe at this marathon. She was like, what? She's like, you don't stop there. She's like, that's the kind of place that's in the rap videos you watch. And I was like, yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's what it felt like.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, so anyway, like, yeah, you just gotta watch out where you're going. 419 is pretty crazy, but yeah, man, fuck it. It was kind of an eye-opening experience, you know, just like be careful and prepare your surroundings. But everything was fine. Nothing happened. No shooting. So
that's
a good day in the 419.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's good. That's good. The 666 seconds of murders, those have gone very well at the main Murder Metal Mayhem YouTube page. Doing a lot of Idaho 4. I did a Delphi episode for this week. But doing big numbers over there. We got 3,000 subscribers now. So thank you very much, those of you that are over there.
Yeah, and thank you a lot.
Yeah, if you guys are coming over here to check out the podcast, we welcome you. And it's awesome. We've got kind of two arms of attack with Murder Metal Mayhem now. So, but, you know, we were at 150,000 views in the past 30 days there on YouTube. So... A lot of views, a lot of people seeing that Murder Metal Mayhem logo behind me in those videos. Now, we got a little bit of business to get to here tonight, guys. Get some killer cage match.
Yeah.
That's where we get a list of 100 killers that we came up with, 100 objects for them to fight with, a variable in the cage with them, and a song playing while they kill each other in the cage. Cranking on that 666,000 custom watt Bose stereo. So that's just fucking brutal. And we want to thank some listeners for providing those random numbers, Chris.
Yeah, once again, we have Colin 815 Posse Rogers.
Fuck yeah.
We got the Touchy Pole.
Oh, yeah.
Stop talking about my dick. And we got Blessed with Pain.
Hell
so
yeah.
Fucking thank y'all a lot. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate it, guys. And we got an epic one, though, to get to tonight, Joey. Couple of notorious fucking serial killers here.
I don't know. Because I'm looking ahead at what all the entails in this cage match, I'm kind of torn about some shit. But anyway, we'll get
I know, right?
We got David Parker Ray going up against the Zodiac Killer. So that's our fucking main event.
Right.
And what kind of weapons do we have, Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
Oh, my God, dude. They're fucking running around this cage. They got themselves a fucking bone saw and a high-pressure gun that shoots out cum. You're going to get semen laced in high pressure.
High pressure semen.
Could you imagine going in the gas station or in the car wash and just spraying your car off with just buckets of jizz? That's basically what we got going on.
Bukkake car wash?
Bukkake, exactly. Yes.
That's a song, man.
The variable, though, Joey, is kind of wild.
I know. This is what tears me up because... I had a plan of attack for this one until I saw the variable. Now I've got to back off, I think. I can't do it to him, but our variable tonight is Chris's dad, Pawback, after drinking a 12-pack and a pint of Strawback whiskey at the Nation.
Oh, boy.
Oof.
And the song playing, unfortunately, Material Girl by Madonna. So they're either going to be digging it and bumping with that, or they're going to be hating it and getting all mad. But it's playing on a 666,000-watt system. So we've got David Parker Ray up against the Zodiac. with a bone saw and a gun that shoots high pressure semen. And we got Pawback running around after drinking a 12-pack of beer and a pint of McCormick's at the Nation, and the song playing Material Girl by Madonna, Chris, which I know is one of your personal favorites, but
and we are living in a material world.
So what do you think, dude? This is kind of crazy, man.
All right, man. Here's where I'm going to start. Material Girl just fucking jamming out. Nobody fucking really cares at this moment. Because fucking Parker Rae, motherfucking goddamn Zodiac, they's about to fight. They're like, whatever, there's something. They're zoned in on each other. Like, fuck it. Dad, this motherfucker drunk. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm going to fucking bed, dude. I don't even need to deal with all this drama tonight. Fuck you guys. I'm fucking going to bed. So Dad fucking goes to bed. Meanwhile, fucking David Parker Rae and Zodiac are in the goddamn ring. So the bell rings. I'm motherfucking like, you know, goddamn Zodiac, he wants that fucking gun just because it's a gun. He's like, I don't care what it's shooting. But at the same time, David Parker Rae's like, I want that gun too because I love cum. And he's like, fuck yeah. So they're like, they go at it, at each other, fucking going for the gun. They're going fist to fist for the gun. I want to shoot cum at something. I just want to shoot something. Well, David Parker Rae ends up with the fucking bone saw in his hand. So he starts cutting at fucking Zodiac's arm. He gets a hold of the cum gun and just starts spraying fucking Zodiac down with the cum. And it's like Spider-Man. Cum Gun's
another awesome band from Canada, from Montreal, by the way.
Nice.
Like, oh, wow.
Nice. But it's like fucking Spider-Man webbing. He's hosing him down like he's fucking Spider-Man, pinning him to the ground like, I'm going to bring my dogs in a minute. You just fucking wait. You wait, motherfucker. So he's got the bone saw in one hand. He's got the fucking cum gun in the other hand. Meanwhile, Material Girl still just fucking loud as fuck in the background. My drunk ass dad gets up. He's like, can somebody turn that fucking shit off? Fucking tired of it. Trying to go to sleep. Y'all are being fucking loud. I'm tired of it. So he comes out. He just grabs the fucking whole PA, fucking the whole soundboard. He lifts it over his head. He throws it at goddamn David Parker Rae, smashes his head, and he's like, fuck you. And he shoves the cum gun in his throat.
Oh, wow.
And just spraying cum down David Parker Rae's throat. David Parker Rae's laying there like, thank you? I love cum. Have you seen what is... Have you seen the floors in my toy box? It's covered in cum. And I'm going to fucking give it to Dad. Killing fucking Madonna, David Parker Rae.
Wow.
And the Zodiac.
Okay. All right. Joey, what do you think, dude?
Man, the whole deal was I was going to have these guys go at it at the variable, on the variable, and just tear into them. That was the whole idea. But now that it became Chubbeck's dad, I don't want to do that anymore.
No, so, do it. Let Dad have it. Do it.
No, because I think I came up with a good side angle to go around it. So anyway,
right on.
So in the cage match for me tonight, when that bell rings and Madonna's just fucking blaring over that shit. First off, Pawback spent the Nation. He drank a 12-pack and a fucking a pint of McCormick. Problem is, that ain't shit for Paw, so he's like, well, I'm fucking sober. This shit's boring as fuck to me. I hate this Madonna goddamn shit. I'm fucking driving to the goddamn bar, and he just leaves. So Pawback isn't even there anymore.
Yeah, that makes so much fucking sense, too.
Yeah. So then fucking Parker Rae and fucking Zodiac, they're both fucking voguing to Material Girl because, I mean, they can't help it. They fucking dig the beat. It's pretty fucking fresh to them. But they know they got to get down to business, so they got to get in a fight. Zodiac takes the fucking mask, pulls it off, and lo and behold, what the fuck? The Zodiac is David Parker Rae.
Oh,
all of a
shit.
Sudden, there's two David Parker
Holy
Rays.
Shit.
And what do? They grab that bone saw, the singer for Murder Complex, and they fucking start molesting this dude. And they grab bone saw and molest him.
Shit.
And all of a sudden, both the David Parker Rae Zodiac killers pull out their cocks and start pummeling it in Bonesaw's ass, and they start knotting like dogs. They knot like the dogs because they fuck with the dogs.
God,
and they're just fucking cut. they're just knotting inside Bonesaw's ass, and they grab the cum gun, shove it in his throat, and just start spraying it. And before you know it, Bonesaw dies from fucking ingestion of cum and getting pummeled in his ass by fucking knotted out cocks from two David Parker A Zodiacs. They win.
God damn. Wow. That took a turn like a motherfucker, dude.
Saul got spared. Saul got spared when I saw the Bonesaw. I was like, okay.
Somebody's going to need to let Bonesaw know he might want to listen to this episode this week. That'd be, I'll text him in the morning after I get it done.
Yeah.
I'll send make it sure to, you listen.
Yeah, dude, you may want to listen.
I haven't got on Bonesaw, so, you know, he'll think it's great.
Probably write a song about it, you know.
Right.
Creation of Chaos 4, my latest book, that's on PeteAlteri.com. I'll link to that in the episode description if you want to pick up a copy. It's just horror short stories. But I think it's the best one of the bunch. Some good stories in this one. And the audio book is also done. That's available on Audible, Amazon, and Apple. If you get it from me, though, I get a little bit more out of the deal. I get hardly anything, really, when they sell on the other platforms. It's kind of a ripoff for the artists, just like everything else. Anyway, but I do have them on my website. You can buy it digitally there. And it's me reading the book. It's like 10 and a half hours total. Is how long it is.
Fuck all that.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the recording part of it.
Yeah, the recording. Yeah, it took a lot more than 10 and a half hours, I can tell you that.
I bet.
Yeah, I hate doing them, but they are necessary evil. But anyway, so that's available if you dig that. But I think we've done plenty of mayhem tonight, so let's hit that outro. Carnosis, man. Jesus.
You're fucking dope.
Castle of Grief. Those guys are fucking badass.
Dude, that shit was on fleek.
They were on somebody else's top 10 albums of 2023, and I saw them on there, wasn't familiar, and holy shit. Yeah, those guys are badass. Very, very good stuff. Big thanks to Tex for coming on with us, but that was last week. I forgot to take it off.
Yeah,
it's funny when that happens, but yeah, it's like I get so many things going on, but
it's like Anchor Man.
Hey Tex, hope you're listening. Thanks for being on tonight. Thanks, we appreciate
it. Oh, you know he's listening.
Thanks again, Tex. How about that bumper music, Joey?
We listened to Carnosis, Low 12, and Zuckus tonight.
Nice.
And always fucking metal segment, dude. We got Crysix with the great metal motherfucker, CK, what?
Hell yeah. And the Murder Metal Mayhem intro music is Crawl Space by Low 12. Thanks to everybody out there listening.
Yes, sir.
Keep seeing the numbers coming in. Always nice to see it. Reading some comments because there's a few good ones in the bunch. So, Chris, why don't you start us off?
Tonight we got fucking Sonny White says, great episode on Saddam this week. Horns up to Tex and Pete for being veterans. So, yeah, fuck yeah. Appreciate you, Sonny. And
thanks,
thank
Sonny.
You, Tex, and thank you, Pete.
Hey, hell yeah. Thank you as well. Joey, how about that second one?
The second one says, Ruby Gone Dead 55. I love what you do every week. It's so funny. I've listened every week for the last year in Orlando. Horns high from Florida.
Awesome.
Flo Rida.
And Debbie Knows You Too comments, my boyfriend and I were on a vacation a month ago with some friends who loved the podcast. We're both hooked. That wrestling match was fucking hilarious. So,
hell yeah.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun. The Brawl on the Bayou. Man, if you missed that,
go check that shit
go
out.
Go back. It's a bonus episode from a couple weeks ago. It was fucking hilarious.
And then we got motherfucking Tampa Tim 616 says, right on. No one is better than Murder Metal Mayhem.
bite me.
Well, thanks, Tampa Tim.
All right, Tim.
I'm not going to fight you. I agree. With that. You could pick up a copy of one of my books, and that's at PeteAltieri.com, MurderMetalMayhem.com. We got all our merch on there. Joey, your distro, anything you want to mention? You got Goremonger stuff.
I know, I'm shrinking it down. Shit's fucking going out of press. Fucking, if you want something, get at me. But I got new stuff coming in, too. So
good, good. You can like us on our Facebook group. We don't have a page anymore because they're dicks. You could follow us on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck that's called now. We do have a Instagram page, thanks to Shane for doing that. And, of course, the YouTube channel we've been talking about with those 666 seconds videos. So those have been a lot of fun and a great way to spread the word of Murder Metal Mayhem. You could support the show by joining that 666 Club. That's patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. And just $3 a month, that's all it is. And you can also do it on the website, murdermetalmayhem.com, and save 25% by doing it by the year. So you can't let him go without hearing a karaoke song. So crank this shit up, and until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
And keep your iron fist on your countrymen. Make them suffer. Make them die. Put them in a hole.
Night. I can't see no reason to put up a fight.
Mother Man.